Judges are in despair over a lack of special care beds for some of the most vulnerable children in this state. That is according to the latest report from the Child Law Project, which publishes and collects data on childcare proceedings in our courts. One High Court judge described the situation as a tsunami about to reach shore, and nothing was being done. Now, the report makes for distressing reading as it highlights the very high risk that some children in care are subjected to. In one case, there was no special care bed available to a teenage girl who was allegedly raped while in care and was suspected of having been trafficked throughout the country. We're joined in studio this morning by Dr. Maria Corbett, CEO of the Child Law Project. Dr. Corbett, you're very welcome. Good morning. We'll start with that case, if that's okay. This teenager, she had the cognitive ability of a 10-year-old. What happened to her?
Yeah, so this case was heard in the district court. So the child was in care and there had been, the High Court had made an order for special care, which would mean that she would leave her residential placement, where she currently was, and go into a more secure unit. But this, the story that we're hearing, at the point we're hearing it, is she's in a residential unit and she was described as very vulnerable, that she was a teenager but had a cognitive ability of a 10-year-old. And effectively what was happening was the staff were observing her behaviour. So she was getting into cars with unknown men. There was incidences of concern about her phone use. And there was also a very distressing incident where she rang her guardian ad litem, who's a court-appointed expert, late at night, at 11 o'clock at night. The child was unsure where she was. She was cold and she was hungry. So the gal, this individual, went, met her, collected her, and they discovered she was 2 hours away from her placement. They organised for her to be returned and she got back to her placement at 1 o'clock in the morning. And what you can see here is there was real concern for this child, that there was third parties with ill intent. So there was people engaging in trafficking her around the country for sexual exploitation. That was the concern. And the unit, as it was, the residential unit, they weren't able to manage her behaviour. They weren't able to keep her safe. So in one of the hearings that we attended, this case was returned to court numerous times. One of the cases that we attended was a Friday. The judge was hearing the case and there wasn't a social worker in court. The social worker was asked to come up from the country, from where they were based, to explain how they were going to keep this child safe over the weekend. There was a real concern around her and to explain to the court what the measures were. So eventually, after multiple hearings and engagements by the court, Tusla was working very hard to try and find a placement, but eventually, in this case, a placement was found, but it was in the UK because there was no placement in Ireland. As I explained, there is only a limited number of special care placements and there is more children deemed to need those placements than there are beds. Yeah. And just to acknowledge that, obviously, this is an issue that has been before the district court. The High Court hears these cases on a weekly basis, but there's also been a Supreme Court hearing on the issue. And just recently, just to acknowledge that the CEO of Tusla has established an external review group to look at the area of special care, and I'm actually sitting on that group. So just to acknowledge that there is real concern around this from the judges, and I think there's a concerted, I suppose, focus on it within Tusla at the moment. But outside of that, there is a real need for the government to acknowledge this and to ensure that all elements of the state are working on these cases. You can see here, there's a close liaison with the Gardaí. The child effectively had a cognitive impairment, so there's disability issues there. So there's lots of state agencies needed to engage with this, and we also need to look at residential care and what other supports can be put in place to keep children like her safe, because that's one example, but it is actually quite it is quite illustrative of other cases, unfortunately,
that we see. Yeah, and her case, I think, came before the courts at least 25 times. And what you have just said there in the last part of your answer is presumably what you've been saying for quite some time in relation to special care beds and the need for more. And there is a case of 5 siblings in care. Can you tell us about them and what happened to them?
Yeah, I mean, again, this was heard in the district court. And this, unfortunately, is an example of instability in care placements and a key ingredient for children if they need to come into care, if they need to be taken from their families and brought into this care, is that they have a stable placement. And in this case, that did not happen for a period of time. So there's five siblings, but three in particular, the older ones. They're primary school age. They're young. One of them was preparing to do her to make her Holy Communion. And they had effectively over a 4 to 5 week period, they had multiple placements. They had come from a placement that had broken down with relatives. And then they were effectively being in multiple emergency placements. At the point that we saw the case, they weren't sure they were going to go to school the next day, but they weren't sure where they would go after school that day. So the Tuesday were trying to keep the children in school, but it was effectively very difficult when they don't know where they were staying. And they also didn't know whether they'd be split up. So three young siblings weren't sure where they were going to be going. And obviously access with the parents then, their father was actually in prison, but the mother was keen to see them. Very difficult to arrange access when they don't know where the children are staying that night. So this use of emergency, ad hoc, out of hours placements, really very difficult. The children were confused, they were uncertain, they were worried. The judge said effectively the children were homeless, even though they were in the care of the state. There is concern around the impact of that on children who are already coming from a difficult home life. By the time we followed that case for a number of weeks, they did find a placement for those children. It was a residential placement. But again, you're looking at building up trust with the parents and Tuusla and engaging to try and stabilise the children after such a disruptive period. That is not the norm, and that is not good practice, and all of the social workers working in with those cases would not be happy with that situation. Effectively, when children come into care, if there's a placement breakdown, there would be an emergency temporary placement, but it would be a stable one until they could transition to a longer term placement.
We must leave it there for this morning, but thank you very much indeed for coming in to highlight some of those cases that you have been following in the courts. rte.ie/helplines if you've been affected by anything you've heard there. Dr. Maria Corbett, CEO of the Child Law Project, many thanks for joining us.